Maybe you've heard of the band The Ramones. If you haven't, The Ramones were an American punk rock band from 1974 to 1996. They are often cited as the first true punk rock group. Now, in 2002, The Ramones were ranked the second greatest band of all time by Spin Magazine, trailing only behind The Beatles. And in 2002, that same year, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If you don't recognize the Ramones still, maybe you recognize the song Blitzkrieg Bop, Hey Ho, Let's Go, or I Want to Be Sedated. That's another one of their popular songs. Maybe you've heard of California Sun or the song The KKK Took My Baby Away, maybe. But I'm sure there's one Ramones song that you probably haven't heard. The song that I'm thinking of is the song Got a Lot to Say. And it was one of the last songs that they created together. And it's a song that is bristling with irony because in the song, when he says, I got a lot to say, he says that 12 times throughout the song. And then 20 times he says, I can't remember now. And then one time he says, yeah. That's it. That's the whole song. I got a lot to say 12 times, 20 times I can't remember now, and one, yeah. So for a song that's entitled Got a Lot to Say, the Ramones didn't seem like they had a lot to say. Now last week, in last week's sermon, I said that the Bible had a lot to say about money. And we talked some about that from 1 Timothy 6 last week. But today, we're going to be looking at the Proverbs. And when I say that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about money, it's not bristling with irony. That is a literal truth. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about money. By one count, there are at least 100 proverbs that say something about money or things that pertain to money. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to talk about every single instance of what happens in the Proverbs when it comes to money. What we're going to be doing today, and Lord willing, if the plan goes as planned, next week we're going to be coming back to the book of Proverbs and looking at another set of Proverbs to broaden out what we're talking about when it comes to what the book of Proverbs says about money. But today we're going to be looking at three themes that come out in the book of Proverbs. And again, next week, Lord willing, we're probably going to be looking at three more. But for today, we're looking at three themes that are found in the book of Proverbs concerning money. So let's take a look at the first one. Here are three of the themes concerning money in the book of Proverbs. The first is this: wealth is a blessing from God, but wisdom is better than wealth. That's the first theme we're going to be talking about today in this message. Wealth is a blessing from God, but wisdom is better than wealth. We'll start with Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, we read this: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, there are lots of things that we could say about that particular passage, but one of the things that's very clear in that passage is that God is the one who gives God is the one who fills the barns, who fills them plentiful, who makes the vats bursting with wine. God is the one who does that. The Lord is the one who blesses the one who honors him. Now, lots of people take this passage out of context and make it say something that it doesn't really say. We have to remember that when God says that he will bless those who honor him, sometimes he does bless with wealth and with produce and with possessions. Sometimes he blesses in other ways. The point of the proverb really is, if you honor the Lord, he will give you blessing. I mean, basically what that passage is saying is the same thing that Proverbs 10:22 says. In Proverbs 10:22, we read, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." So it is the blessing of the Lord that brings about wealth. If any of us have any measure of wealth, that wealth came from God. Same thing is seen in Proverbs 22, verse 4. "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." Who is the one that gives the reward of riches, honor, and life? It's God. So wealth, financial stability, possessions, all of those things, they are a blessing from God. They are a gift from God. We talked about this last week from 1 Timothy chapter 6, when we saw that God has given us everything for us to enjoy, and that includes money and possessions. Now, while it is true that God is the one who blesses us with wealth and riches, he's the one who gives us what we have when it comes to money and possessions. He's the one that may bless us in those ways. The Proverbs are quick to point out that wealth isn't everything. Wealth isn't everything. That really, wisdom is better than wealth. Yes, God may bless people with wealth, with possessions, but the better blessing is wisdom. For example, in Proverbs 8, we read, 8, verse 10 and 11, "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Wisdom is better than wealth. So much so that wealth cannot be compared to wisdom. Nothing compares when it comes to possessions and money with wisdom. Wisdom is better. Or think about what Proverbs 8:18 says. And in this passage, this is wisdom personified speaking. So wisdom is actually speaking to God's people. And wisdom says, "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness." And then wisdom says, "But my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver." In other words, yeah, riches and honor, they come from wisdom. And wisdom is found in God. But wisdom is better than riches. Wisdom is better. What comes from wisdom is better than all of the money in the world. In fact, Proverbs 16:16 goes so far as to say this: "How much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So getting wisdom is better than gold. It's better than wealth. Getting understanding, that should be chosen over wealth, over silver. Now, here's a great question for us to ask before we move on to the second thing that we're going to be looking at today. If wealth comes from God, do we recognize that and give him thanks for what he has given to us, whether it is a lot or a little? If we recognize that what we have is really a gift from God, then we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us. Thank you for what you've given to me. And we also need to recognize that if wisdom is better than wealth, then we want to pursue wisdom more than money, right? Let me ask you, seriously, I want you to really think about this. If you had the choice between being the richest person in the world or the wisest person in the world, which would you choose? Which would you choose? You know, Solomon had that choice in the scriptures. We read about when David's son Solomon was getting ready to be king. He had that choice, and he chose wisdom over riches. Now, he got riches also, but he chose wisdom first. Now, if you know the end of Solomon's story, you may say, well, his wisdom didn't really help him out too much because he did some pretty unwise things, and that is true. But at least at the beginning of his reign, he was understood and seen as the wisest person on the face of the earth. And he made wise choices for the people he ruled over. Now, we're not kings in the sense that Solomon was, but God has given us many things that we're responsible for. Do we want more wisdom in order to care for what he's already given us well? Or do we just want more money so we can get more stuff? Wisdom is better than wealth. That's what the Proverbs tell us. Even though wealth is a gift from God, it's better to get wisdom. And that leads us to the second thing that we find in the book of Proverbs. Yes, wealth comes from God. It is a blessing from God. Wisdom is better than wealth, though. And what that tells us is something about foolishness. You see, foolishness will ultimately have a negative effect on our financial status. Foolishness will ultimately have a negative effect on our financial status. In other words, foolishness is hazardous to your financial health, among other kinds of health issues. In Proverbs 10:4, we see a proverb that says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. A slack hand, a person who is lazy, or a person who maybe they do a little bit of work and just enough to get by, but they're not really putting their heart and soul into it, or not really giving it all that they have. It's just going through the motions. A slack hand causes poverty. And this is kind of obvious. This is sort of, you know, common sense kind of thing here. I mean, you think about it. If you want to make money, if you want to be able to pay your bills, if you want to be able to have stuff, then certainly you're going to have to work for it, at least most of the time. Most people who have a slack hand they're not the richest people in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that people who are not rich are automatically lazy. That's one of the problems that we sometimes have. Like Job's friends, we jump to conclusions. We say, well, Job is suffering and wicked people are the ones who are supposed to suffer, so therefore Job must be wicked. In the same way, we may say, well, a slack hand causes poverty. So-and-so is poor, therefore they must be lazy. And that's not always the case. In fact, there are all kinds of reasons why poverty may have fallen upon someone, even though they're a really hard worker. But the general gist of what this is saying is that if you are slack in your work, don't expect to be rich. Don't expect to be blessed with wealth. Because God, even though riches and wealth are a blessing from God, God normally works through means to bring about his blessing to people. And one of the means he uses to bring about wealth and financial stability and all of that is hard work. Is us not being slack, but giving what we do to God and giving it all that we have. Another passage that hits on this theme that foolishness can be basically hazardous to your financial health, that it's going to have a negative effect on your financial status, is Proverbs 13:20. Now listen to this. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The idea here is, if you want to be a wise person, you hang out with wise people. But if you're hanging out with foolish people, don't be surprised that their foolishness is going to rub off on you, and it's going to bring harm on you. It can bring harm in all kinds of ways, but surely it will bring financial harm to you if you continue to be a companion of foolish people. People who, for example, have a slack hand and don't work. If you're hanging out with them and learning to be like them, then you probably will find yourself becoming more slack and therefore not making as much money, and it may be harmful to your financial health. Or think about this. If you're hanging out with people who like to just spend all the time, and you start doing what they're doing, you're spending all the time, your foolishness is going to end up draining your bank account. And then you'll find out that, oh, well, I need some more money, but I don't have it right now because I spent it all. It's being around people who have foolish ideas about money can also cause us to have foolish ideas about money, and it can be harmful to us. This is something I hope to be able to talk about next week when we talk about debt, that in America, there's a foolishness about going into debt. Now, I'm not going to say that all debt is wrong. I'm not going to say that God says that debt is sinful or anything. That I don't believe that that is the case. But there is an issue of wisdom and foolishness. And maybe you can say there's a spectrum between what is most wise and most foolish. And going into debt, especially if you're continuing to go into debt to get things that you cannot really pay for with what you know you're bringing in, there's some foolishness in that. There is, it is unwise. And the scriptures tell us that wisdom is what we want to seek. Wisdom is what we want to use when we're talking about our finances. Another passage in the book of Proverbs that goes along with this theme that foolishness can be harmful to your financial status is Proverbs 14:16 that says, "One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless." Right? If you're showing out foolish behavior and you are doing foolish things, then what you're going to find is there's a recklessness about that. There's a carelessness about that, and that's going to bring you harm in some way. That's particularly financial. If you're reckless with your finances, if you're careless with your finances, that can bring real harm to you. One last passage about this, Proverbs 21:20, which says, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." In other words, you can find good things, treasure, oil. You can find what is good, wealth-wise, financial stability, in the person who is wise. Generally speaking, that's what you're going to find in a wise person's house. But a foolish person will devour it, right? It's like going into your refrigerator and getting out one of those big things of ice cream and just eating it all, just devouring it all. That's not wise, right? And that's what a foolish person does with their money, with their possessions, with their finances. They devour it up. They use it up. They don't treat it well. They don't handle it well. And because they're acting foolishly, it gets devoured up, and then they need more and more and more. Considering what we've just been talking about with how foolishness will ultimately have a negative effect on our financial status, it's a good question for us to ask, well, how wise are we with our own finances, with our own financial decisions? Or to flip that, how foolish are we with those same decisions? There are all kinds of financial gurus out there who say it is a wise thing for us to save up somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 6 months of our salary, or at least of our expenses, for a rainy day, just in case something happens. Then we have that money as a safety net for us if something really bad happens, like we lose our job, or we have some big health problem and we can't work for a while, or the coronavirus epidemic happens and people are wondering, well, how am I going to pay my bills if I don't have the finances to be able to do that? Because right now I'm not getting paid. At least that's the case for some people. And now I know that the government is doing all kinds of things to try to help. And I know that there's many employers who are trying to help their employees. And I'm all for that. But you think about this. If all of us were to try to set apart 3 to 6 months, and we have that in an account somewhere and it's sitting there, then when a crisis like this happens, to a certain extent, we're ready for at least 3 to 6 months worth of what could happen. Now, I know that for some people, thinking about saving up 3 to 6 months worth of income or of their expenses, that just sounds crazy, because there's so much that we have to pay for, and there's so little that we're taking in. But I would also want to just encourage us that, again, we live in a society where we want more and more and more and more. And at least for some people, the reason that we can't save up 3 to 6 months worth is because we keep spending beyond what is wise for us to spend. Again, I'm not saying that is across the board for every single person, but it is worth considering. It's worth thinking about. Are there things that we can do without in order to be able to be wise with our finances and save up for a rainy day like coronavirus epidemic? People are staying at home and some people aren't getting paid. Again, this is something that the scriptures point out, that it is better to be wise with our finances rather than foolish, because when we're foolish, it may come back to bite us. Okay, so far we've looked at two of the three themes we're going to cover today from the book of Proverbs when it comes to money. The first theme was that wealth comes from God. It is a blessing from God, but wisdom is better than wealth. The second is that foolishness will ultimately have a negative effect on our financial status. In other words, acting like a fool, being a fool, basically is hazardous to your financial health. But the third theme that we see in the book of Proverbs when it comes to money is this: wisdom leads us to shun greed and to embrace generosity. Wisdom leads us to shun greed and to embrace generosity. Let's take a look at some of the passages that would show that. First of all, about shunning greed. If we are wise, then we will shun greed. For example, in Proverbs 1:19, we read this: "Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." It takes away the life of its possessors. Those who are greedy for unjust gain. Those who are so greedy, they want more and more and more, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get it. People like that are putting their lives at risk. All kinds of bad things can happen to the one who is so greedy that they'll do whatever it takes to get more. Even if it means hurting other people, walking all over people, well, that will come back to bite you in the end. Another proverb that says something very similar is Proverbs 15:27, which says, "Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live." The greedy person, the person who, again, will do whatever it takes to get what they want, that person will trouble his own household. You've got to think, if you're greedy and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it, it's not just going to affect you negatively, it will also affect your family, your household, in negative ways. It could be detrimental to your family. We need to think through the decisions that we make, and even not just the decisions, but where it's coming from. If my heart is full of greed and selfishness and self-centeredness, so that all I want is what I want, and I don't care about how it affects other people, that's dangerous. And not only will it affect us, it will affect our family. And it may even affect our friends, our church, our community. We need to be careful about how we allow greed to grow in our heart. That's something that needs to die. Because greed is something we need to shun. Again, Proverbs 28:25 says this: "A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. A greedy man stirs up strife. Again, someone who all they care about is what they want, and they'll do whatever they need to get what they want, that will stir up strife. That will cause relational issues. That will cause all kinds of problems. And part of what the book of Proverbs is trying to get across to us is that it is better to be wise in the way we deal with things, and wisdom leads us to shun greed, because greed will not only hurt us as individuals, it can hurt other people around us, even people we care about and love, and it can cause strife among our relationships with other people. So instead of embracing greed, we need to shun greed and embrace generosity. So we need to shun greed and embrace generosity. That's what wisdom tells us. In Proverbs 14:21, we read, "Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor." That God blesses the person who gives to the needy, to one who is poor, who is generous with what he has and gives of what he has to those who have needs. We see a similar sentiment in Proverbs 14:31. "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." In other words, if you are someone who oppresses a poor person, if you're doing something to actually harm and hurt and abuse a poor person, then what you're actually doing is you are insulting the God who created you. Because that person that you are oppressing, that you are harming, that person is made in the image of God. And because that person is made in the image of God, the way we treat that person is in effect the way we treat God himself. And so this passage is saying, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. You honor the one who created you. You honor your Lord and your God when you give to those who have needs. Another passage that we can look at in the book of Proverbs that has the same theme is Proverbs 19:17, which says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." See, what that proverb is saying is that when we are generous to those who are poor, what we're actually doing is we are lending, we are giving to the Lord. This seems to be where Jesus is getting his sentiment that he talks about in Matthew 25, when he talks about how there were people who were hungry and thirsty, they were in prison, they were naked, and someone helped them. And then Jesus says, "Whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his deed. The Lord, again, will bless those who give. In fact, Jesus himself says it is more blessed to give than to receive. The question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that enough to be generous with what we have, knowing that God will bless us in some way, not necessarily giving us everything that we give away back, financially speaking, but there will be some way that he blesses us, that he encourages us, that he shows us his favor because we have been generous to those who are in need. Now, as we think more about how to apply this aspect of what the Proverbs is saying, shun greed and embrace generosity. Think about the time period that we're living in right now with this coronavirus epidemic. There are some of us who we have various resources that we could simply use only for ourselves, or we could share those resources with people who may have needs, people who may be more needy than we are. What a beautiful thing it would be for the Church of Jesus Christ, for people who follow Jesus, to say, yes, I do have some things, money, food, toilet paper, and I'm willing to give up some of that for my own comfort in order to help someone. I'm willing to be generous rather than go out and panic shop. What if we lovingly and generously give to people who may need it? I mean, you know, you see sometimes these videos about people fighting in stores over the last roll of toilet paper or something like that. Wouldn't it be awesome if you were in a line and you have toilet paper in your cart, and then someone behind you says, man, I came here, we're out of toilet paper, I came here to get toilet paper, and I just don't have any. And you're thinking, wait a second, let me pay for this, and then I break it in half, you know, cut the package in half and give you a couple of rolls, and I take a couple of rolls, and hey, that'll last us for a little while. You know, I'm glad to be able to share with you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be a beautiful picture of love and care and generosity? Well, we've looked at three themes from the book of Proverbs about money. Now, these aren't the only themes, but they are three significant themes that we can find in this book. We've seen that wealth comes from God. It is a blessing from God. But money is not as good as wisdom. Wisdom is better than wealth. We've also seen that foolishness will ultimately have a negative effect on our financial status. And so rather than being foolish, we want to be wise with the way we use our money and our resources. And then finally, the third one we saw was that wisdom will lead us to shun greed, because we know it's bad for us and it's bad for other people around us. And to rather, we are to embrace generosity, because generosity is good for us and it's good for other people. And it results in blessing them, and because the Lord is good and he blesses those who give generously, it's good for us. These are words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, but I would be amiss if I did not bring these home to the Christian faith that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, these words of wisdom find their ultimate expression in the crucified and resurrected Christ. The words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, every single one of them, somehow, in some way, they point us to a greater source of wisdom than just a proverb. They point us to Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Christ. Now, think about what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and following. He says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, and he says, and because of him, you, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Christ is wisdom. The book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, when we reverence Jesus, when we see him for who he is, it's not just the beginning of wisdom, but it's the middle of wisdom and the end of wisdom, because Jesus himself is wisdom from God. In fact, Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and following, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we want true wisdom, wisdom in dealing with our finances, we need Jesus. It's not just a matter of, I need Jesus so that I can go to heaven in the sweet by and by. No, it is, we need Jesus not just for the future, but we need him for today in making wise choices, even with our finances. And you think about it. We're to shun greediness and to embrace generosity. That's Jesus, who shunned the riches of heaven. In fact, he left the riches of heaven and became poor so that out of his poverty, we could become rich in him. Not rich in finances, but rich in the blessings of God. And Jesus is generous, giving himself for our sins so that we would be the children of God, so that we would be his family. And not only that, Jesus, who is Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's our Jesus. And Jesus wants to share his kingdom with us, to share something of his glory with us, so that one day we will be like him with a resurrection body, and we will glorify him by reflecting his character perfectly back to him. And Jesus wants to share all of that with us, his people. You want to talk about generosity? That's it. And no wonder Christians are called to be generous, because our King is generous to us. And when we're talking about foolishness, Jesus is never foolish. No, Jesus is wisdom. He is wisdom. And rather than being foolish, he tells us to be wise, not to make dumb choices, foolish choices. In fact, remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is summing up everything that he said from chapter 5 of Matthew to chapter 7 of Matthew, all of the things he had taught, and he says, listen, the one who puts these words into practice is like a wise man, a man who builds his house on a rock, and when the storms come, the house stands. But those who don't put my words into practice, those who are foolish in their thinking and in their actions and say, you know what, Jesus said it, I know it's supposed to be true, but I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to trust my own understanding. I'm going to lean on my own understanding, not Jesus. I'm going to build my house on the sand. And then when the storm came, the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. So Jesus doesn't want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. And he shows us this is wisdom. Come to him. Come and hear what he has to say and try to live by it. Become a disciple of Jesus. Become someone who follows him and seeks to be more and more like him by the power of the Spirit in us. That's wisdom. And then going back to our very first point, yeah, wealth is a gift from God, but wisdom is better than wealth. Let me tell you, the wisdom that we have in Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. When I am thinking about the things of this world, you name it, whatever it may be, you know, your TV, your house, your car. When you look at Jesus, Jesus is better. Because Jesus is true wisdom from God. And the fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus is better than anything we can have in this life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that what our hearts long for? We are always searching for more and for more. And really what our hearts long for, and we don't even realize it sometimes, is that the only satisfying thing in the entire universe is a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. And growing in him is the only thing that will really satisfy us. And if that is wisdom, and it is, then it is wise for us to embrace Jesus and all that he is and all that he has, rather than trying to chase after more money, more stuff, more activity. You know, maybe this period of time where we're having to press the pause button on so many things is really a blessing in disguise. Because maybe our restless hearts will start to find a rest in Jesus. Because we're looking to him and saying, Jesus, okay, you say that you are satisfying. You say that you can give me all that I really need. And you say that my heart can be full of you and that is joy unspeakable. Well, that's what I need right now because I am going stir crazy in my house with all my family in my house. I need some satisfaction found in Jesus. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise that we slow down enough to be able to say what I really need is not more stuff, not more activities, not more money, not more anything other than Jesus. So before we sign off, I want to ask a very simple question. Where is Jesus in making your financial decisions? You know, before you purchase something big or even something small, where is Jesus? Before you decide what to do with the money in your bank account, where is Jesus in that decision? Before you decide to use your money for this or for that, where is Jesus in the decision-making process? Before you decide what to give up and what to take on financially, where is Jesus? If Jesus is wisdom from God, and that wisdom will help us not only in salvation, but in the daily life that God has given to us, then doesn't it make sense that we would submit ourselves to our Creator and our Lord and our God and our Savior, and He would come in the midst of those financial decisions and guide us and lead us by His Spirit and by His Word in the right directions so that we do the right kinds of things? What, isn't that what we really need? So folks, to sum up, let's abide in the wisdom of Christ. Let's abide in the wisdom of Christ in order to make wise decisions, especially wise decisions with the financial resources He has given us. Whether that's a lot or a little, we want to make wise decisions in Christ. Lord Jesus, help us do this. Amen.